The Gold Thread, a story for the young. To my children. I dedicate this story to you, because it was for you I first wrote it, and to you I first read it among the green hills of Moffat. It was afterwards printed in Good Words, and now you see it again appears as a little book for other children, who, I hope, will like it as much as you do. I wish to help and encourage you, and all who read this story, to learn the great lesson which it is intended to teach. That lesson is, that we should always trust God and do what is right, and thus hold fast our gold thread in spite of every temptation and danger, being certain that in this way only will God lead us in safety and peace to His home. Now, God gives each of you this gold thread to hold fast in your own house or in school, in the nursery or in the playground, on every day and in every place. His voice in your heart, and in His word, will also tell you always what is right, if you only listen to it. You, too, will be constantly tempted in some way or other to give up your gold thread, and to be selfish, disobedient, lazy, or untruthful. Many things, in short, will tempt you to do your own will rather than God's will. You already know, and I hope you will always love and remember, those true stories in the Bible about the good men of the olden time, whose lives are there written. Now, what showed that they were good? It was this, that they trusted God, and did what was right. If they ever let this their gold thread go, they lost their way and became unhappy, but when they held it fast, it led them in a way of peace and safety. To see how true this is, you have only to recall such stories as those of Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Job, Caleb, and Joshua, Samuel, David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, Daniel and his three companions, and see, with those told you in the book of Acts, not to mention the history of Jesus Christ, the perfect example for us all. That you, my dear children, may be followers of those who through faith and patience now inherit the promises, and thus be followers of God as dear children, is the constant prayer of your mother, and of your father. Norman MacLeod. Chapter 1. The Wanderer, Wolf the Swineherd. NCE Upon a time, a boy lost his way in a vast forest that filled many a valley, and passed over many a hill, a rolling sea of leaves for miles and miles, further than the eye could reach. His name was Eric, son of the good King Magnus. He was dressed in a blue velvet dress, with a gold band round his waist, and his fair locks and silken curls waved from his beautiful head. But his hands and face were scratched, and his clothes torn with the briars, as he ran here and there like one much perplexed. Sometimes he made his way through tangled brushwood, or crossed the little grassy plains in the forest, now losing himself in dark ravines, then climbing up their steep sides, or crossing with difficulty the streams that hurried through them. For a long time he kept his heart up, and always said to himself, "I shall find it, I shall find it," until, as the day advanced, he was wearied and hungry, and every now and then he cried, "Oh, my father! Where is my father? I'm lost! I'm lost!" Or, "Where, oh, where is my gold thread?" All day the forest seemed to him to be very sad. He had never seen it so gloomy. There was a strange sadness in the rustle of the leaves, and a sadness in the noise of the streams. He did not hear the birds sing as they used to do. But he heard the ravens croak with their hoarse voice, as their black forms swept along the precipices which here and there rose above the trees. The large hawks, too, always appeared to be wheeling over his head, pausing, and fluttering as if about to dart down upon him. Why was he so sad? Why was he so afraid? But on Eric journeyed, in the hope of finding his way out of the boundless forest, or of meeting someone who would be his guide. At last, the sun appeared to be near its setting, and he could see the high branches of the trees, shining like gold, as its last rays fell upon them. But underneath, the foliage was getting darker and darker, the birds were preparing to sleep, and everything soon became so still that he could hear his steps echoing through the wood, and when he stopped, he heard his heart beating, or a leaf falling, but nowhere did he see a house, and no human being had he met since morning. Then the wind suddenly began to rise, and he heard it at first creeping along the treetops like a gentle whisper, and by to call louder and louder for the storm to come. Dark clouds gathered over the sky, and rushed along chased by the winds, that were soon to fight with the giant trees. At last, he sat down at the root of a great old oak, burying his face in his hands, not knowing what to do. He then tried to climb the tree, in order to spend the night among its branches, in case wild beasts should attack him. But as he was climbing it, he heard someone singing with a loud voice. Listening attentively, and looking eagerly through the leaves, he saw a boy apparently older than himself, dressed in rough shaggy clothes, made from skins of wild animals. His long matted hair escaped over his cheeks from under a black bearskin cap. With a short thick stick he was driving a herd of swine through the wood. "Hey there, you black porker!" cried the boy, as he threw a stone at some pig which was running away. "Get along, you lazy long snout!" he shouted to another, as he came thump on its back with his cudgel. And then he sung this song with a loud voice which made the woods ring. "Oh, there's nothing half so fine, as to drive a herd of swine, and through the forest toddle, with nothing in my noddle, but rub-a-dub, rub-dub, hey up, hello. When I wish to have some fun, then I make the porkers run, till they gallop, snort, and wheeze, among the leafy trees, oh, rub-a-dub, rub-dub, hey up, hello. How their backs begin to bristle, when I shout aloud and whistle. How they kick at every lick that I gave them with my stick. Oh, rub-a-dub, rub-dub, hey up, hello. Get along, you rascals," cried the savage-looking herd, "or I'll kill and roast you before your time." But soon the herd, with his swine, were concealed from Eric's sight by the wood, though he still heard his rub-a-dub chorus, to which he beat time with a sort of rude drum, made with a dried skin and hoop. Eric determined to make his acquaintance, or at all events to follow him to some house, so he descended from the tree, and ran off in the direction from which he heard the song coming. He soon overtook him. "Hollo!" said the wild-looking lad, with as much astonishment as if Eric had fallen from the clouds. "Who? Where from? Where to?" "I have lost my way in the wood," said Eric, "and want you to guide me." "To Ralph?" asked the swineherd. "Ralph? Pray, who is he?"
"Master, chief, captain, everything, everybody," replied the young savage. "I will go anywhere for shelter, as night is coming on, but I will reward you if you bring me to my father's home."
"Who is your father, my fine fellow?" inquired the swineherd, leaning on his stick.
"The king," replied Eric.
"You lie, sir prince. Ralph is king."
"I speak the truth, swineherd." The swineherd by this time was examining Eric's dress with an impudent look.
"Pay me now," said he, "give me this gold band, and I will guide you."
"I cannot give you this gold band, for my father gave it to me, and I have lost enough today. By the by, did you see a gold thread waving anywhere among the trees?"
"A gold thread? What do you mean?"
"I saw nothing but pigs until I saw you, and I shall treat you like a pig, do you hear? And lick you too, for I have no time to put off. So give me your band.
Come, be quick," said he, with his fierce face, and holding up his stick as he came up to Eric.
"Keep off, swineherd, don't touch me."
"Don't touch you? Why shouldn't I touch you? Do you see this stick? How would you like to have it among your fine curls, as I drive it among the pig's bristles?" And he began to flourish it over his head, and to press nearer and nearer.
"Once, twice, when I say thrice, if you do not unbuckle, I shall save you the trouble, and leave you to the wild beasts, who would like a tender bit of prince's flesh better than pork. Come, once, twice." Eric was on his guard, and said, "I shall fight you, you young robber, till death, rather than give you this band, so keep off."
"Thrice," shouted the herd, and down came his thick cudgel, which he intended should fall on Eric's head. But Eric sprang aside, and before he could recover himself, dashed in upon him, tripped him up, and threw him on the grass, seizing him by the throat in a moment. The herd, in his efforts to get out of Eric's grasp, let go his cudgel, which Eric seized, and held over his head.
"Unless you promise, Master Swineherd, to leave me alone, I may leave you alone with the wild beasts."
"You are stronger than I thought," said the herd.
"Let me up, or I shall be choked.
Let me up, I say, and I promise to guide you."
"I shall trust you," said Eric, "though you would not trust me. Rise."
So the herd rose, and picked up his cap, but Eric would not give him his stick until he guided him to some house.
"Come along," said he, sulkily.
"What is your name?" asked Eric.
"They call me Wolf. I killed a wolf once with my boar spear."
"Why, Wolf, did you try to kill me?"
"Because I wanted your gold belt. But it is a great sin to rob and kill. Other people rob me, and would kill me too, if I did not take care of their pigs," said Wolf, carelessly.
"You should fear God, Wolf." "I fear that name truly, for Ralph always swears by it when he is in a rage. But I do not know what it means."
"Oh, Wolf, surely your father and mother told you about God,